In the name of the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. We all know at least someone whose heart is breaking this week. Just yesterday, we buried one of our parishioners, Dorothy Gunness. Her family and her many friends are dealing with grief. And there are other things we read about in the papers, of course, and here on the news. There are mothers and fathers worried about their sons and daughters who've gone off to war or who have been wounded by war. Friends worried about friends or worried about children who are perhaps addicts, who would possibly hurt themselves or others. A world of grief, grieving the loss of lives in Syria, the plight of immigrants. A world of anger over public policy or the loss of financial security due to the fragile economic situation in the United States and abroad. A world of hurt, the young and old in third world countries dying needlessly of treatable diseases because of poverty and political oppression. Where is our happy ending? Didn't God promise to hear us, to hide and to protect us? What of the psalmist's song that we hear? Therefore all the faithful will make their prayers to you in time of trouble. When the great waters overflow, they shall not reach them. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. And what about the scripture where St. Paul writes to the church in Rome, if because of one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. How can someone in real grief and real hurt open the Bible and find anything helpful when real suffering comes over us like a blinding, suffocating flood? We can. You and I can. We can find something there that is helpful. But the Bible isn't just a book that a lot of us heard about in CCD or Sunday school that says that we should be quiet and good and cheerful. It isn't a book that says we should all be nice because everything is really okay. All you have to do is open the Bible to the book of Acts, which we believe was written by Luke, which is the story of the early church, and read it closely. And you will see a group of people who were very close to Jesus in that time, grappling hard with hard questions, with real oppression, and in serious pain. It shouldn't surprise us. I have a couple who are very good friends of mine, have been for decades. They adopted a young boy. He was born to an unwed, addicted mother. He was diagnosed very early on as having ADD. He was shunned by his peers and he was shunned by adults because he didn't know how to behave. As he grew older, he started hanging out with the wrong crowd. And so his parents, good Christians, sent him to a Christian high school for troubled boys in the Midwest, hoping that it would help straighten him out. Now David, at the age of 6, had offered himself to Christ. And he had intended to attend Bible college at some point in his life and become a minister. Well, he came back from high school, returned home, and decided to delay going to college. You can imagine, he relapsed again with the wrong crowd and got into drugs and alcohol. Well, I thought about David, and something stood out to me right away when I read today's gospel. That Jesus, who was full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He had been baptized, and he was full of the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit, however, and tempted by the devil. These aren't phrases that are linked naturally for a lot of us. For a lot of us, when we're in a desolate and painful place, we're likely to ask, what did we do wrong? And like my friends, who have been devout Christians for over 40 years, we ask, how could we be led by the Holy Spirit and be in a place like this? How could our children, how could we end up in such dark places, these wildernesses where we live faithfully and raised our children hearing the word of God? Well, 2,000 years ago, the early church asked those questions too. Some people had left not only their homes, but their families and their work. And they were often met with persecution for it. Journey with these people in the books of Acts, and you have company in your pain. They know what's wrong in the world, enough to say even that the glory and authority of the world's kingdom have been given to the devil. They know that sometimes, too often, the kingdoms of this world reward what Jesus called evil. And all of that is very real to the Christians we read about in the Bible. We can also read about them today in our own national and church histories. There are many inspirational stories there. So when we follow Jesus, we walk with and behind sisters and brothers in Christ who have known pain and oppression. And let's not gloss over that, because without seeing that, we can't take in the full impact of the good news that they share with us. That Jesus, the Messiah, full of the Holy Spirit, came to confront all the powers of sin and death, everything that separates us from one another, from God, and from the joyful, peaceful, loving life for which God made us. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, came to confront all the powers of sin and death, and guess what, folks? Jesus won.
Amen.
And that's it. I don't want to give you away the story. We only just started Lent. But Jesus won on the cross. He did. He really did. And we're going to talk about all of that in the weeks to come. But here we are on the first Sunday in Lent, and Matthew shares with us the good news that Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, confronted the devil directly and won. In today's gospel, we are shown that to have victory over evil involves a willingness to endure pain in confronting all the powers that oppress and divide us. It's the devil, not God, who promises safety and success. But it's God working in and through Jesus, who is full of the Holy Spirit, who wins. This, in the end, is God's world. Just as it was in the beginning, God's light shone in the darkness, and the darkness has never extinguished it. We see and taste God's goodness and the wholeness for which God made creation in countless small and breathtaking ways, in sunrises and in laughter, in an embrace or a shared tear, a delicious meal shared with family and friends, and this holy meal shared together in this community at this altar. But chiefly, we see it in the life and ministry among us of Jesus Christ, who knew pain and desolation and betrayal, as well as laughter and peace and love. If we are to start this journey with Jesus, or to enter more deeply and intentionally into it, I can think of no better time than this Lent. If your heart is troubled, let me assure you that you are not alone. Let us walk together, and our stories and our prayers will sustain us. If you are laughing and you're filled with joy, that's not against a Lenten spirit. I suggest that you share it and help lighten the way for others. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was led into desolation, but he was also led into victory. And he is company for us all in this journey that we are on together toward healing and reconciliation. Amen.
Amen.